It's a wildcard special this week as one and maybe two are active. Haaland's a hot topic as we're all bringing him in. We also mull over other City assets, the potential of no Mo Salah, and some general chip chats as we try to improve our rank. Hi guys, welcome back to this week's FPL pod. Kelly Summers, Julian Rod and Sam Bonfield back with you as always. After another pretty disappointing game week, would you say? I feel like I'm doing the same intro every single week, but it's been such a tough start to the season. Back me up. Well, Sam, you'll definitely back me up, actually.
Yeah, it's been really difficult, hasn't it? It's just been honestly, so this weekend I was like, right, it can only get better. Saturday, I was actually having a really, really good game week and I was like, this is great. And I checked my live rank at the end of Saturday and I had a green error of 1.5 million. And I was like, right.
But Sam, looking at your team, how can it have been that good? You only had three players that returned.
Yes,
overall.
But nobody else. But the players that I had that returned, pretty much they're quite lowly owned. So that actually gave me a massive, massive green arrow. Now, also, I had most of my players play on Saturday. So by the time it rolled into Sunday, I didn't really have anyone left to play apart from Ollie Watkins. And I was looking at Ollie Watkins thinking, okay, well, let's see what we get from you. But I didn't have any Arsenal and I didn't have any Man City. And so I knew that that game was going to be painful, regardless of the outcome. It was going to be difficult. And then as soon as it was a Reinders, I remember I turned to Lee and I said, like, all we need is for it to just not be Reinders or Haaland. Anyone else, take the Arsenal clean sheet away. That will help, but it can't be them two. So of course, when they combined for the goal, I was like, oh man, this is just a nightmare. So in the end, it was pretty much, I think I lost 5K in rank on the back of it all. So that them two just ended my game week in a very difficult way. So yeah, it was pretty much a grey arrow in the end. No real change, but still ended up feeling quite disappointed by it all.
Yeah, so did I. So you ended on 39 points. I got 38 points. Jules got 38 points. Wow, we really are top three at the moment, aren't we? Gosh, Jules, talk us through your game week.
But there's no better feeling than when you know you're having a bad weekend, right?
And everyone else is.
But you don't even want to look at the app. But on Tuesday morning, on Monday, you look and everybody else was... You feel so happy. You feel so good about yourself. Oh, it was just not me.
Jules, I know you've had a bad week, but lesson down the language.
Sorry. So I thought you were allowed to say the C word like that. But anyway, so
maybe you
rubbish.
Are, I don't know.
Poor rubbish instead. Everybody else was rubbish. I was delighted for you two being bad and everybody else pretty much.
Cool.
38, Mark Gehi with 7. He got that dodgy assist that really should not be an assist.
Oh, he has been the jammiest transfer for you. You got him in around the same time I got Munoz.
Nah.
Yeah, you literally did it for budget, I'm sure. Yeah.
Quality. Remember that curler in the top corner against Villa?
Oh, yeah, because he scores those every week.
Yeah.
Just saying, he's improved massively technically.
Wasn't that the first week you had him, pretty much?
Yeah.
Since I signed him, he has improved massively technically.
Is that thanks to you, is it?
But I'm just saying, like, you know, it's a trust thing between him and I. The wrong thing really was the captaincy on Cole Palmer, because I really thought he looked good against Bayern Munich and good when he came on against Brentford the weekend before. That was the worst 20 minutes I've ever seen in my life between the Sanchez red cards, him being taken off, and even him looking a little bit like, really? That's so early? But now he seems to be injured for a few weeks. So that was a bad call. I would have been much better if for example, I had Captain Mo Salah like a lot of people. But apart from that, it was just a very average, disappointing.
I'd like to let the listeners know that I did go with one of your changes. I didn't go with the other. I took Jack Grealish out, sorry, because, you know, obviously I live trans substituted him off my bench. At the last minute, I changed my mind and you two are so lucky because Reinders is one of my only players that returned. So I brought him in for once. Let's remember this. Let this be a lesson to me to go with your gut. Like, I just felt like Reinders was going to get something over Grealish, and don't get me wrong, it felt horrible watching it, but it was it paid off. And kudos as well, Jules. I texted you straight away.
I was watching the game and I swear to you, I was literally countdowning. Is that a word? Countdowning? Counting down for your message to come through. I was like 10, 9, 8. And then here you go. After there was 3 seconds left on my countdown and your message came through.
You didn't reply, though. Sam replied to me. You didn't reply. Anyway,
I thought, especially,
I imagined that Jules was really unhappy about it, particularly when it was an assist for an own goal. The second one, I was imagining Jules being like, I can't be an assist.
That shouldn't have been an assist.
I told you, he puts the balls in all the right places. He's been close.
Yeah, so jammy.
Exactly.
It's so jammy.
Yeah, the only players, it's actually easier, isn't it, this week to go through the only players that did return. The only players that returned for me were Reinders, Salah, Kudus, and then Anderson is just a DEFCON kind of king, isn't he, really, in terms of, it's just been brilliant for me. Estev, I did play, so thank you for that, Jules.
Yes.
He just about outscored Diouf with 3, but you take those wins on a game week like this.
Absolutely.
Robert Sanchez, thanks a lot. The only good thing is that what seeing Chelsea in the Cup the other night, I think that Sanchez is going to come straight back in. So at least he missed an EFL Cup game, and that isn't a headache I have for this weekend. So small kind of victories and all that. As for the FPL Pod Mini League, we've got Burnley fan Kueth Wang, who leads the way at the top of the league. They join ahead of game week 5 and now sit 4 points ahead of last week's leader, Trond Stromer, who now sits second. Sorry if I haven't pronounced that right. He did have a very difficult week at the top with just 33 points. They had triple Spurs defence, who conceded, as well as having Robert Sanchez. And yeah, by the way, -3 for Robert Sanchez. I don't like that rule that he went off after 6 minutes.
Yeah, but you've left your team in the mud, so that's why it counts.
We didn't concede the goals.
Well, so it counts because you getting sent off has had an impact on the rest of your team, right? So if they're sent off, then anything negative that happens to the team
after that, they still get penalised for the goal.
No, yeah,
that's wrong.
It's always been the rule. That's always been the rule.
I know it's always been the rule, but it's never happened to me, so I've never felt the pain of it. But when it does happen, it's quite bad. So I saw a few people saying that was painful. I'm with you guys. Oran Tuba, Adeluo, and their team of Tivok CF have climbed up into third place. They registered 58 points for the game week. They had Gehi, Kudus, Reinders, Haaland, and Salah all returning. Shout out to Ahmed Fati, who climbed up to 6th. They got 76 points. How? In game week 5. I know. He must have had every player that did return. A lot of differentials. Yeah. The FPL Pod Mini League code is XY6XPL if you do want to join. Okay, just very quickly before we go any further, we've got lots of things to get through. And Jules, we need a midweek update from you. Have we got any wild cards active on this pod?
Ooh,
okay, Sam, put your hand up for an audio show.
Nobody
doesn't work that well.
Yeah, mine's active, yeah. Yeah, it is.
I kind of want to do that now, but...
Yeah, I'm tempted as well.
Let's just talk wild cards now and we'll come on to the other topics in just a bit, because Sam, what triggered you other than having an average start?
What didn't? So I actually didn't play it on Saturday. So I was planning to. My plan was, as soon as the game reloaded on Saturday lunchtime, whilst I was watching the Merseyside derby, I was planning to play it. And in the end, I didn't because actually Saturday went okay. And I just wanted to give myself the opportunity to think, and there wasn't going to be a lot of price changes on Saturday night. I stood to lose 0.1 in De Kuyper on Saturday evening. And I was like, I'll just swallow the 0.1 with him and hold it and then see how Sunday goes. And then Sunday was difficult because part of the reason for wanting to play the wild card this week was to bring in Cole Palmer. And obviously then the injury to Cole Palmer on Saturday that Jules was talking about before kind of made me doubt it a little bit, but I knew that I wanted to get to Manchester City assets. I had 2 free transfers, so it was quite easy to go from one Manchester City asset, one Liverpool asset, to a Manchester City one and just move some money around with the free transfers. But actually, I looked at my team and I decided to do the thing that I always do when I'm trying to decide on whether to wildcard. And I brought them into transfer mode and I started just taking out the ones that I didn't really want anymore. And I was left with 4 players. And I thought,
wow.
Okay, if you're at 4, then you really are struggling. And even one of them, I wasn't convinced I still wanted him either. Like, that was Kudus, and I'd kept him for now because I knew I wanted a Spurs mid, but I wasn't convinced he was the one I actually wanted. So possibly it was down to 3. So that's what caused it in the end. I was just like, right, well, if I'm at that stage, then off they can all go. So I hit the button, and then up until Tuesday evening, I had both Salah and Haaland in my team. And then the Ekitike red card in the League Cup changed that as well. So actually now there's only 3 players left from my original team because I've also lost Mo Salah.
Whoa.
Do you want me to run through it?
Should I just say that the other reason, while you sign back in, Sam, the reason that this is so important and I've gone early on the pod talking about this is because there's nearly 1 million wildcards played ahead of game week 5. And this week, there's over 400,000. And of course, there's still a couple of days to go until the deadline ahead of game week 6. So it feels like these few weeks are proving really popular. So yeah, and Sam, you kind of representative of so many FPL managers at the moment in terms of we all had a lot of similar players and a lot of people. My wildcard isn't going to be active this week, but I've taken a -4 to kind of sort it out a little bit. And I like my team with that, so I'm willing to hold on a little bit. But I think a lot of managers are on the cusp of -4 or wildcard, and things such as the Ekotike decision this week will have also influenced people.
Yeah. I mean, I did think about just making the transfers, but in the end, I was like, well, actually, the team that I would build next week on, it was like, do it now, do it in 7, do it in 8. And when I looked at it, in reality, the team is the same. Like, there's very little that changes between doing it now and doing it in two game weeks' time. And because now the transfers roll through your wild card, I had two going into this week. So coming out next week, I'll still have two. Hopefully, I won't need to make a transfer after a successful, hopefully, wild card in 6. So that'll mean that going into 8, I've got 3. And then I'll be putting myself in a nicer position moving forward just to make sure that, you know, I've got enough in the bank that I can deal with headaches, because that's been an issue so far. It's been kind of firefighting. Okay, so at the moment, so I've gone for trusted between the sticks. So David Raya, reassuringly expensive. Arsenal's fixture is about to swing for massively for the better. And actually, they've started defensively incredibly well over the course of the season anyway, which we kind of knew would happen. Like, we knew that going into this season that the Arsenal fixtures weren't necessarily ideal, but they are the sort of team that can just do what, you know, they can get a clean sheet out of nothing. So Raya and Dubravka, the two goalkeepers.
Who else did you consider? Was there anyone else that came close when you were considering?
Yeah, Donnarumma. He was close, because Man City's fixtures are also really nice. And at the moment, I don't have a Manchester City defender in my team. I do have a route to it, which I can talk through later. But at the moment, I don't have one of those. So I did kind of ponder on, do I go for Donnarumma instead? He's gone up by 0.1, so he would cost 5.6. So that was under consideration. I also, for a minute, pondered on Vicario, because he is that little bit cheaper. And then I thought, do I really want the Spurs double up in the defence? I'm not entirely sure that I do. Like, having Mickey is ideal. Having more than that feels a little bit overkill, even for me. But it feels like a premium. The only other option that I did consider was Petrovic at Bournemouth. He feels like a decent option, decent fixtures. They're keeping clean sheets on a semi-regular basis. So he's one that I have kind of pondered on. But again, because of one of the defenders that's come in, that would have given me the double up of the Bournemouth defence. And I wasn't convinced that I liked the fixtures quite enough to double up there, even with the saving that would give you, because obviously he's only 4.5. So would have saved me 1 million over Raya. And if push comes to shove and I really need 1 million, then he is definitely an option. And I think if you're wildcarding and you need a cheaper pairing, then Petrovic you could definitely go for.
Okay. And do you agree with all of those, Jules? Would you be looking at similar?
Yeah. I mean, in the draft I've made, I've got Pope and Petrovic because I think Newcastle have been solid defensively as well. And the fixtures rotate quite well, actually, between Newcastle and Bournemouth. So if you don't want to go for 5.5, 5.6, Donnarumma, Raya, those kind of guys, I think Pope at 5 million and Petrovic at 4.5 could be a decent combo for your two goalkeepers.
Okay, then defence, Sam, who have you got at the moment?
So I've gone for Timber right now. Annoyingly, I've got 0.2 in the bank with this draft, and I need 0.3 for Gabriel. And I can't quite find 0.1. I've kind of gone backwards and forwards on it. I go Saliba instead, and that is under consideration. But I do love Timber. Like, if you remember a couple of seasons ago, he was so good for me. So I'm pondering on just sticking with him. So Timber, Senesi, who I should have just got weeks ago. I should have started the season with him, to be fair. It was a mistake and I fixed it. Van de Ven stays. And then I'm kind of in the 2-4 million bracket because I'm planning for a bench boost either in game week 8 or 9. So Sunderland / Leeds are the teams to invest in for a bench boost in 8 and 9 if you want to go for cheap options. So Goodmanson and McKeely, I think, at Sunderland. He's been playing really well up there for points so far this season. So
I was wondering who you were talking about.
Thank you very much, Jules. I appreciate it. So yeah, them five. I I am struggling a little bit because I would really like a Newcastle defender in there and I can't quite work out how to get one in. Dan Burn is the probably cheapest and best way in, I think, but at five, I don't have a clear route to a five. Sanessi's 4.7, so I could move from him a little bit later and get a five, but I don't really have that budget unless I drop Raya down. So what I'm pondering on at the minute is just going without Newcastle for this week because I don't like the fixture anyway for them this week against Arsenal, and then moving a little bit of money around in a couple of weeks' time because I'll have the transfers that I've banked and getting Dan Burn in at that stage or even moving to Nick Pope at that stage. So Newcastle are the team I'm lacking defensively right now that I feel I should have cover on.
Okay, so just say all those names again, just...
All of them, or can I just say four and let Jules say the fifth? Timber, Sanessi, Goodmanson, Van der Ven, and Jules, what's the other ones? How do I pronounce the other one?
Mukiele.
Thank you.
I was born and bred.
And Jules, if you were to do one, how would yours differ?
So I think this is really interesting. So that in my few drafts, there's one where Mo Salah is not in the team anymore and is covered by a Gakpo or an Isak, for example. So obviously, if there's no Mo Salah with Haaland in your team, you've got a bit more money to spend and your defenders can be better. But I think ideally you would want to keep Van der Ven, have a Crystal Palace defender, whether that's Gehi.
With the fixtures, you'd keep Crystal Palace.
Yeah, because I think defensively that back five is very solid anyway. And the only thing that makes me a little bit worried with Palace is that the Europa League and the Conference League will start, well, the Conference League for them, but Europe will start for them the following week. And then I'm not sure how they will cope with two games per week, which is very new to them. But I still think they offer quite solidity defensively. Calafiori, for Arsenal, if you want to go for Timber, Calafiori is a little bit cheaper. Same if you want to go with Gabriel. I would keep Ronaldo if you can have him on your bench because he's obviously suspended until October 25th. That's a very long time. Otherwise, you can change him for Mukiele. I think he's a very good option. Goodmanson or Rodon for Leeds is great too. There's also obviously Tarkowski. If you're looking for a Manchester City defenders, I think Nico O'Reilly could be a big pick because Pep likes him a lot. I will talk about O'Reilly a little bit later too. But I think there's a really good few options. Tarkowski for the
differential, isn't it?
Yeah, there we go.
Yes.
O'Reilly is one I've seriously considered because I need real security of starts till game week 9. And that just because of the bench boost, and that just gives me a little bit of a, I don't know, I just feel a little bit unsure about that.
Yeah, that's fair enough. That's fair enough. So yeah, this is pretty much it. Depending on the budget that you have, I think there's enough in all those defenders that we mentioned for a really good back five.
Okay, then what about midfield, Sam?
Keeping Salah, yeah? Or are we doing one with Salah, one without Salah?
Well, let's go with what Sam's got at the moment. What do you want at the moment, Sam?
No Salah.
Okay.
So up until Tuesday, as I say, I was on I've got the Salah Haaland draft. I can run through that because it does look different. So I've got a draft that's got Salah and Haaland, but the current draft that I'm planning to deploy and is saved in my app has no Salah. The premium midfielder is Saka. So it's Saka, Semenyo, Reinders, who I've just fixed after I should have just stuck with him in game week one, shouldn't I? Kudus is still there right now, but might not be. And Stack. So that's where I am with that. Again, that's because Leeds in the bench boost week look perfect. I think what I might do after bench boost is drop him down to Josh King and save 0.5. But right now for the bench boost heading into 8/9, I need to build a squad that gives me a really nice bench, and to have two Leeds and Sunderland in there makes a lot of sense for that. So yeah, the Saka as a thing is tight. And I've been backwards and forwards on these two all week since Ekitike came in and I freed up that spot. It's been, do I get Saka? Do I get Eze? Do I get Saka? Do I get Eze? And then because actually if I get Eze, everything looks better because it's 2 million, right? Suddenly 2 million goes a hell of a long way across the rest of your team. Can have a Gvardiol in the back line if you want with that money. So it's tight. But right now I'm going back to Saka.
Do you know what? Saka is a big reason I want to wildcard. And I think so many people are going to be looking at him with that, with the injury to Madueke as well. I think his appeal is just enhanced, hasn't it? Jules, what about you? So you've got your no Salah and your Salah.
And I've got Salah, Isak and Haaland too in one of the drafts.
Oh, yeah, but you always manage it. And then you've got like 4 million, you find like a 4 million midfielder, don't you normally?
But that means, so in midfield, you will have Salah, Semenyo, which is pretty good. Then you have to go down to Enzo Lefebvre from Sunderland. But to be fair, like Sam said, their fixtures are not too bad. And Josh King at Fulham, who is 4.5, but so far started every game and looked really, really bright. Should have had that goal at Chelsea. Mm. Maybe not the returns that he would have hoped and you would have hoped if you own him, but
it's not really a bench boost team though, is it, that one? It's a team, not a squad.
Yeah, that's true. But then you still have João Pedro, Isak and Haaland up front. That's the thing. If you're okay with that midfield of, and Luis Miley as your 4 million, really, really obviously cheap fifth midfielder. Mm. But if you're happy with Salah, Semenyo, Josh King and Lefebvre, in a 3-4-3, for
would
example,
you be happy with that?
I think, I mean, the only thing I'm not sure, Joe Pedro and Haaland solid, is that, is he sad?
Yeah, it's a great front line. I'm not disputing that.
But I just don't know how far away Isak is from his best-ish, or, you know, even I would take Isak at 70%. And will he start scoring straight away? Will he even be involved straight away with Liverpool? So we know he's going to start, obviously, against Crystal Palace this weekend because Ekitike is suspended. But what kind of Isak will we see? You know, is he going to be a good Isak? Is he going to be average Isak? So if he's only average, is it worth putting him in now and investing all that money, the 10-point-something million? I think it's a great debate to have whether you want Isak now or if you wait a little bit. But if you wait a little bit, you obviously need an easy way to bring him in your team when he starts shining, because inevitably he's going to start being very good at some point. And if you have to start taking a -4 to get him, may as well getting him now and hope that he hits the ground running straight away.
I'll be honest, a large part of the reason I'm not wildcarding this week is because I can't quite work out what to do with Salah, Isak and that whole conundrum. I wouldn't know what to do on a wild card. So I'm just waiting another week, which probably is the wrong decision, but it just feels right for me at the moment. Sam, what are your forwards then? Hang on, can I guess them? Haaland, yep. Pedro, mm-hmm. Mateta?
No.
Oh, you said you were worried about that. Only because you love Mateta, but I'm guessing you're worried
I do love Mateta. Yeah. I do.
And so he scores for you at the weekend and then you dump him like this, like a...
Yeah. Our relationship is now over.
He shouldn't have made away.
I know. He left me waiting too long for that goal and I'm annoyed with him. So, no, I'm not. If I could have four, it would have been Mateta in a heartbeat, but I can't have four. And so... João Pedro, Haaland and Isak is my front line. All the things you just said, Kels, have played out in my head over the last few days. And so that's why the original draft that I had and the team that I wildcarded to over the weekend had Haaland and Salah with Isidore from Sunderland as the third forward. A little bit of money in the bank. And it gave me the money to go from Salah down to Saka and then Isidore up to Isak.
Right, that was
the plan. So that was my full plan for this. Well, go into that with that. And then Ekitike got sent off and I was like, okay, well now Isak is guaranteed to start at the weekend. That probably means that Ekitike is going to get the start in the Champions League in midweek after. That probably means that maybe then Isak gets to start again in the Premier League at the weekend. So then I went into the circle of, well, if Isak is going to now keep starting in the Premier League because of the red card... And I was impressed by Isak. I thought he looked good. And I like the fact that he goes off in the League Cup game and he's continuing to run shuttle runs afterward for fitness and all of that. I'm like, okay, you are working real hard to get back to fitness and you're going to get the nod. So I'm going to go there now because it means I can go early in on Saka. Because the other thing to say about Saka is that at the moment, Saka's 9.8. In a couple of weeks' time, Saka will not be 9.8. Saka will be 10. If he's only got to get one goal at the weekend against Newcastle and suddenly he's going in everybody's teams as people wildcard, they'll start bringing him in. So I kind of had set up one team with the ability to get to Saka, but it was tight. The Isidore, Salah to Saka and Isak was already quite tight for budget and any price rises and falls for any of those guys would have made that quite difficult. So I'm just going on kind of gut feeling with Isak now. It does not feel comfy not having Salah though.
Okay,
yeah, it's risky, isn't it?
Just a quick conversation. Well, actually, Sam, what percentage are you that you'll be no Salah? Do you think you'll stick with that?
Yeah, 100%. I'm not having Salah.
Ooh, okay. A quick word on Haaland. Quick word on Haaland, because obviously he's a massive reason that people are wildcarding at the moment, isn't he? Given his form and everything. He's top of the FPL league in terms of points. He's got 46. That's 5 more than the next best. He's averaging 9.2 points per start, but he does have a yellow flag on the game after Pep said that he had recovery on Monday. He didn't train. I didn't see him and the rest of the players yet today. Hopefully he can play at the weekend. It's been a demanding week, the last game especially, and sometimes the players have problems. I think he will be fine for the weekend. I hope so. Does that worry you at all, Sam? Well, it must do, surely.
No. Yeah, but this is Pep. Pep likes to tell us these things, doesn't he? I mean, like, he looked fine, didn't he, against Arsenal? Like, is this just a, right, I'm not going to play you.
That's it, yeah.
You're a bit tired. I don't want to play you in the League Cup. Have a bit of a recovery day on Monday. I'll see you training. I mean, he didn't see him in training yet on Tuesday or when he said this, because he hadn't had training yet, hadn't seen any of them yet. So let's see how it pans out. But I'm absolutely certain that Haaland is fine and he'll play. And to be honest, it's one of those where...
Could he rest him against Burnley though, with the fixtures they've got coming up?
They go away to Monaco on Wednesday in the Champions League. I'm not sure you need to be rested to face Monaco. If they had, I don't know, PSG, Bayern, Real Madrid, Barcelona, whoever, in the Champions League, the 3 days later or 4 days later, you think, okay, maybe, but they won their first game. Then they play where Monaco, where you've got more people in the casino than actually in the stadium itself. You think like, I'm not sure this is a tricky fixture for them, really. Let's be honest, as much as I would love Monaco to beat them. So it's just, yeah, I don't think if he's not playing, I don't think it would be because of what's coming next in the Champions League.
I think he was asked, I kind of tried to see what he was asked about after the cup game. And I can only find one outlet that asked Pep about Haaland, and Pep just said, tomorrow we'll see. So definitely worth, I think, keeping an eye on Pep Guardiola's press conference, which I think will be Friday, to just see. Is he now in must-have territory, Jules?
Yeah, definitely. I said it last week, remember? I said every day, bring him in now, even before the Arsenal game. He's in such a great form, and there's a bit of an evolution of how City are playing. There's just no doubt. We saw that against United in the derby. We saw that against Arsenal too. Maybe not always for the best in terms of attacking assets that you can have in your team. But he's in top form. I really don't think he's injured or anything like that. And I think he could destroy this Burnley defense at the weekend for sure. And then after that, as we've been saying, the fixtures are great, even if they will play in the Champions League. There's an international break coming where he will play with Norway. All of that, there's many, many more games to come from him, but he's a no-brainer. You have to get him this week ahead of the Burnley game, whether it's a -4, it's worth it, whether it's wild cards, whatever you want to do, find a way of bringing him in.
Sam, he's a large reason you've wildcarded as well as me.
Pretty much the full, well, I mean, the round the edges, there's been other reasons for doing it, but the key reason was how painful it is watching Manchester City. And I don't know if you remember, but last season we spent a lot of time talking about, you know, getting rid of the routes. You want routes to points, but you also want to remove the routes to pain. And not having a highly owned player who's in form like Haaland is a massive route to pain. Like we saw last weekend, it cost me just those two, Reinders and Haaland, cost me over a million places in overall rank when they got that goal. Like that's just an unsustainable thing to go forward with, given the fixtures that they have now. Like if Man City were coming into a run that was like, started with Arsenal and then had all these really difficult games in it, then maybe I'd consider still continuing to take the risk. But they don't. They're going from what has been a reasonably challenging start to the season. They've had a game in there against Spurs. They've had a game in there against Arsenal. There's also been a difficult game in there against Brighton. They're going from that into a fixture run that just looks insanely good for not just weeks, but like months. And so for me, Manchester City, not having anyone from Manchester City, because obviously I started the season with Ait Nouri, who ended up being just a massive headache for me, did really well in game week one. And then after that, was like, oh, I'm injured halfway through, well, not even halfway through a game, had to go off, then missed a game, then came back, then missed a game again. It's just been like, it was like the hokey cokey with Ait Nouri. And so I'd got to a point where then I'd lost him from my team. So I have no Manchester City. And going into this fixture run without any City was just unthinkable in my head. So I did have the route to it. I could have sold Salah and then used the money to upgrade Mateta, or upgrade Ollie Watkins to Haaland and do it that way. But then I'm just temporary bodging my team to get me Man City, and I'm not fixing the other problems. So hence the wild card.
Is Haaland enough, or do you need more than one City with that fixture run, Jules?
I think he's enough on his own, but if you can, if you're playing your wild card, there's no reason why you should not double up or treble up on City anyway. So if you just bring in Haaland and do two free transfers, or take a minus four if you only have one free transfer to find space for him, great. But if you're playing your wild card, get Donnarumma or one of the defenders, get Reinders or another midfielder if you fancy. I mean, Phil Foden scored again in the League Cup.
Phil Foden's an interesting one, actually, because he looks like he's refinding his form again.
Yeah, absolutely. He's expensive, but he's low-owned too. So if he starts playing really well and scoring and getting you a lot of points, this is going to be great for you. So Foden is an option, but there are definitely at least two of them, and three would not be a problem at all, I think.
Yeah, Sam, which other kind of considerations did you have? You mentioned O'Reilly before. Were there any other kind of City names that you considered?
Yeah, so there is a draft that has Azza instead of Saka. And in doing that, that gives me the route to Gvardiol at the back. So that would have given me Gvardiol alongside Reinders and Haaland. Or it also could have meant an upgrade of one of the other midfielders that would have given me enough for a Doku or a Phil Foden in that spot. So then it would be triple attack for Manchester City. And I like that. But the slight problem I have with the triple attack is that there's actually a lot of teams that have got really quite nice fixtures coming up attack-wise. And I wanted to stay invested in all of those as well. Like, so it's taking two midfielder slots for Manchester City just feels a little bit too much, given that I also want, I mean, I haven't got any Manchester United in there, and I'd really have liked Bruno Fernandes or somebody like that as well. And so it is quite tough to kind of work out how to go. But a Man City defender, O'Reilly, has been in my head all week, and I would really like to go there. My just slight niggle is, by the time, if I don't bench boost till 9, how certain am I that he's still going to be getting the start? Because I don't want to get into it. Everyone in that team is like nailed on in their teams, because I need to make sure that for bench boost, I'm not risking having a non-player. I can't have it again. Do you remember I had it with Wan-Bissaka last year on my bench boost?
Yeah.
I can't risk that happening again. So that's what's put me off the O'Reilly pick. But I do really like it. And I if I was bench boosting this week, I'd have O'Reilly in for sure, because I'm convinced he'll start this weekend. It's just in 3 weeks' time, is he still starting? Where are we with Ait Nouri? If Pep could just be a little bit open about Ait Nouri and how long he might be out for, that would really help me out with just making decisions about the back line for Man City.
That's never going to happen. We know that by now. If you aren't wildcarding this week and you do have Erling Haaland, would you consider triple captaining him against Burnley, Jules?
Yeah, I think that's very tempting. Very, very tempting. Because I think even with this little yellow flag that we mentioned, and again, I don't think there's any worry there to have. I might be wrong, but I don't think so. And Burnley being Burnley at the Etihad, traveling at the Etihad, we've seen, how many times have we seen in the past, since Haaland is a City player, those kind of teams. And again, it's nothing against Burnley, it's just the way it is. And City, even if it's not always perfect attacking wise with the ball, recently, again, we said that against United and Arsenal, they had low possession, maybe not creating as much as they used to, but it's still Erling Haaland. And with three shots on target, he can score three goals very easily. So I think it's very tempting. We've said there might be a double game week later on in the season, maybe, although they are less often now than maybe they used to be. Because of the way the season is structured with the FA Cup now and the Premier League and those fixtures and everything. So you can wait, definitely. And there will be other home games for City where you feel like City are going to batter that X, whatever team it is, and you can go for Haaland. But this is very tempting.
Yeah, it's important when you are playing your wild card, isn't it, Sam, to think about your chip strategy in general. I know you've already mentioned your bench boost, but I imagine you've already kind of thought a little bit about your triple captain as well. And maybe it came into consideration this week, although, albeit you had to wildcard to get Haaland, so you couldn't really triple captain him.
Well, I could have sold Salah. I could have just done the two transfers, sold Salah and done it that way. And I did think about that, because the triple captain was a big thought process in my head. The one thing that put me off was how well Burnley did against Liverpool. for a big chunk of that game. Like they can put on a defensive performance when they want to. I don't think they will, but they can. So that put me off a little bit. And then I was like, okay, well, I've got till game week 19 to play the first triple captain. I'll have Haaland in my team now, but probably not Salah for the foreseeable because I've got Isak instead. So when are the other windows that I could play it? And Manchester City have a few. So obviously game week 13, they've got Leeds. So there's definitely an opportunity that you could play it against Leeds there. They've got Sunderland in 15. You could play it there. They've got West Ham in 17. You could play it there. There's also Forest in 18. You could play it there probably quite comfortably. They've also got Aston Villa in game week 9, who... I mean, that could be a really nice opportunity to play it given the form that Aston Villa are in right now. So I think there's like a good 4 or 5 opportunities just to play it on Haaland between now and game week 19. So if you can't for any reason play it now because you're like me, you're wildcarding or your bench looks incredible and you'd rather bench boost this week or whatever it is, then like there's definitely no reason to panic on it. There's plenty of other decent weeks coming up for him. And that's, of course, if you there are other assets that you can play it on instead. So if you don't want to go for a triple cap on Haaland, you can go elsewhere for nice fixtures later on with other teams as well.
Jules, if you don't play your wild card this week, when would you play it? Do you know? Or will it just be team dependent?
Yeah, it'd be the week after. It would be okay. Before the international break anyway. So
before the international break, not in it.
At the international break point, you know, but there's just too many players that I don't want in the team right now.
You're going to play it, aren't you?
I don't want it anymore. I still have Marguyu, for example. So I think it's very tempting. I've got 2 free transfers, so I can do like Sam and let Salah go to bring Haaland in and have enough money for that. But then again, I'll be left with players that I don't really want in the team.
Which is why in the end, I made that decision to just hit the button.
Yep. Okay, well, it is time now for Differential of the Week. I remind you, Differential is a player owned by under 10% of managers. And last week, Jules, well done. You got Bergvall, thank goodness.
Again?
For Defcon points, you got 4 points. Sam, you went for Lacroix and he got 2 points. Jules, you get to go first again.
Yes, well, I will. In French, we've got this expression like that says you can get 2 for the price of 1. 2 pour le prix d'un. I'm going to give you 2 because Nico Reilly was my main one.
Yeah, okay,
really.
But you have to pick your main one for which one you get points for if they return.
O'Reilly or Gigio Donnarumma, you choose 2 Manchester City players. I go for O'Reilly because he's just a little bit different and far less owned than Donnarumma. Donnarumma is on 6.1%. O'Reilly is 0.3%. And Nico Reilly got 6 points against Arsenal because he came off before they conceded. He got, again, the 6 points against Manchester United the weekend before that. 4.9 million is really cheap for a defender that I think against lesser team, a weaker team, will have more attacking contribution as well. He can do more, he can score, he can assist. He's not a left back really in real life, I was going to say, but you know, by formation, he's more attacking than that. So I think there's much more to come for Nico Reilly, and I think Pep really likes him, especially when you've got another centre-back in the right-back position, like it was Kusanov, who obviously got injured, but that just balances very well his back four to have O'Reilly on the left-hand side. So I think O'Reilly is there to stay, and I think he could do really, really well.
Okay, Sam, who have you got? Why do you look so nervous? You like George's pick,
do you? Annoyingly, I do like that one. It's really annoying. And
you
he's
can have it
so
if you want.
Lucky can... with the death
No,
point.
What do you mean so lucky?
Honestly.
It's all calculated.
Is it? Okay. I've got Phil Foden this week. Wait for the moaning that it's too expensive to be a differential, but he's only owned by 3.8% of the game. He might be a superstar, but he's still only owned by 3.8% of the game. So he's a massive differential if you go for him this week. And again, it's targeting the fixture like Jules has done with the Burnley game. Burnley, well, they're just not very good defensively, are they? They've got an XGC, expected goals conceded, of 10.47, which means they've been expected to concede almost 10.5 goals so far this season. That's the most in the league by quite a long way. So from that perspective, I do think the attackers at Manchester City are going to go well. Foden's also in good form. He's got 2 goals and an assist in his last 3 in all competitions. We saw him returning again in the League Cup. Seems to be back in favour in that position. Surely. I mean, I've got to have a differential return. So Phil Foden
feels
like
have you had
like
any
a,
so far?
No, Jules, no. I have not.
Zero. Nothing. No. Wow. No. It's only game week six. So
do you know what's really annoying is that normally I'm actually quite good at picking out a diff, but this season, I think, because this season's been just a disaster for me. So finally, we're getting to a point where maybe... I did have two. So the other one I had was, because I wasn't sure who you were going to go for. I had Ndai, who I also think
will
do really
well
this week.
What is this new thing of... No, you can't then...
No, I agree.
No, you tried it as well, Jules. You tried it as well.
No,
so neither
but I had Ndai as my backup because Jules normally only comes with one. And I thought if he comes with one and he has and he picks Foden, then I'm in trouble. But he started coming with two. He's like properly prepared now. It's
I'm
weird.
Doing the work. And by the way, you're just 1 week away from 007 in terms of differentials that actually return. You know, I'm just
a bit like Ollie Watkins might be as well, Jules.
Yeah, exactly. Off-laying
goals. Okay, then. Transfers and captains. We've done transfers. Just to let listeners in on what I did in the end. I have taken a -4. I did three transfers. I did Watkins, Wirtz and Munoz for... Haaland, Semenyo, Senesi.
Nice.
Because they were three
That's
players.
Nice.
Very
yeah,
nice.
They were. I didn't want to do Munoz. I wanted to do Pedro Porro. I was going to do Pedro Porro to Van de Ven. But
would have also been nice.
Because this week, particularly for them having Wolves, I even considered doing Munoz to Van de Ven to have the double Spurs defence. But I realised I'd only want that for this week against Wolves and then I wouldn't want it long term. So Senesi's a player I want long term. So although I am likely to wildcard in the next few weeks, it at least gives me one less headache or gives me one more player that I know I really want long term. Mm. So yeah, that's what I've done for now. I really don't think I'm going to wildcard just because I'm still not sure on what I want to do with Salah. But you never know. You know what I'm like. I do like to change.
You'll see me tomorrow and that'll be the end of it.
Yeah.
All I need to do is bump into a few people with that button active and I'm there. What about your captain then? I'm going with Haaland and I presume from everything we've said on the pod this week, you guys are as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're going to get him in then, Jules. How are you going to do it?
Yeah.
He's going to wild card.
Yeah, or through the two free transfers. But I think the wild card feels very, very tempting. I think it's a good time to play it too.
Yeah, okay. Jules, I'm very sorry. Once again, I missed out your update from all of the football. Had you written one this week?
I thought we might cover.
Normally he does, obviously, normally if you don't listen to the show regularly, normally Jules does do a little roundup when there's been Champions League, Europa League. And of course, this week we've had EFL Cup as well. But I thought we might cover a lot of it in the wildcard. So I waited.
Yeah, we did.
But
just quickly,
go on, anything
no, just
we've
a
missed?
Little bit. For Igor Jesus and Nottingham Forest, I mean, Ange... still no winning four in all competition, but Igor Jesus scored two goals in the draw at Betis against Sevilla in the Europa League on Wednesday night. Just want to keep an eye on, I'm not saying bring him in now, but just want to keep an eye on, he might get the place ahead of Chris Wood at some point. He's a more Ange player than Chris Wood, certainly in terms of mobility and things like that and movements. So Igor Jesus in good form now after his brace in the Europa League.
Okay, thank you very much. Sorry, I should have given you a moment to shine at the top of the pod, shouldn't I?
That's bad. No, it's okay. It works really well.
Okay, remember, it is a Saturday deadline this week, so get your teams locked in before 11 a.m. The Fantasy Show is back on Friday. As you just heard, Sam will be in the studio with me. We'll have Off the Bench for you on Tuesday. Gianni and Oscar in the hot seats this week as they take us through all the key talking points from Game Week 6. As always, we do love it if you rate and review, and we'll be back next week, guys. Good luck.